The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary for the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. Our first story today is Celestina, Astronaut Ballerina, and it's written by a man named Donald Jacobson. When Celestina was a little girl, her dreams were big. They were out of this world. She did not want to be an athlete, or be a star, or be on Wall Street. No, she had bigger plans than that, and those plans came with a special hat. She truly wanted to walk and explore where no little girl had set foot before. The dream that she dreamed was to walk on the moon, and she could not leave a minute too soon. She would go in a rocket and fly into space and be the first little girl to visit that place. But to fly to the moon, you have to train. You have to work hard. That's simple and plain. You need to be smart to pass every test. There's no doubt about it. You must be the best. And Celestina surely tried her best to fulfill her mission and finish her quest. But every time this young dreamer spoke, the other kids laughed and made her feel like a joke. And all through school, before, even after, the kids would jeer and burst out into laughter. They mocked Celestina for the dream that she had, and all of their teasing made her feel really sad. Poor Celestina. And what of adults? What did they have to say? Did they tell Celestina her dream was okay? No. All the grown-ups, they fussed and they mumbled. They carped and they griped and they whined and they grumbled. Celestina, they told her in a stern, harsh voices, this path is too hard. You must think of your choices. Being an astronaut is thrilling and grand, but it takes too much work. You need a better plan. They weren't helping at all, were they? Come on, Celestina, it's time now to change and think of things that are not quite so strange. Her teacher then said to sweet Celestina, you, my dear, would make a great ballerina. I do love to dance and twirl, it's true, but I can be an astronaut too. Celestina's words about her dreams fell short. Her teacher laughed with a big, rude snort. What a mean teacher, huh? So she traded away the stars at night for pointed slippers and a pair of pink tights. She left behind her cool rocket jet and learned to do a smooth pirouette. She placed her feet in first position and forgot about her heartfelt mission. Her dream to travel and fly through space disappeared without a single trace. She practiced hard. She practiced long. Her feet became tough, her muscles strong. Celestina could dance, and oh, she could spin. But something was not right within. She was not happy, no, not completely, even though Celestina could dance so sweetly. When she jumped up, she floated so high. But still she dreamed of conquering the sky. She shook the thought right out of her head. She tried not to think of it, lying in bed. She did not talk about space anymore. She was not the same girl she had been before. But then one day a new teacher came. Miss Stella, they said, was this woman's name. And she was not, maybe she was not like the rest. What happened next, you would not have guessed. What are each of your dreams and your desires? What are these things to which you aspire? Miss Stella asked every girl, every boy, every girl, what is your biggest, brightest hope in this world? Celestina was shocked. This surprised the young girl. She liked the smart teacher who seemed to be out of this world. Instead of them telling her what she should be, Celestina could choose. Her way now was free. To be a ballerina is a great ambition, but, Miss Stella, I do not think that's my mission. For years, I've been thinking a much bigger thought, that I really should be an astronaut. Well, said Miss Stella, it's time that you soar. Trade in your ballet shoes for the great rocket's roar. Dream your big dreams and never give in. It is never too late for you to begin. Celestina was inspired and then filled with hope. She graduated college, but did she stop there? Nope. When she finished school, off to NASA she went. And NASA, by the way, is a place where astronauts go to learn to be people go to learn to be astronauts. But you have to go to college first and learn lots of other things. When she finished college, off to NASA she went. And many years in training and learning she spent. She learned about launches and landings and more. There were so many subjects for her to explore. Often she felt tired after all of her training. But she did it all without ever complaining. And after that, she was part of a team. Through all of that effort, she was living her dream. But when it came time to fly to the moon, her commander instead sang a different tune. Her great lunar mission had to be cut a bit short and traded for one of a different sort. Celestina smiled and looked at the stars. Her new stellar mission was to walk upon Mars. For 200 days in a rocket, she flew. She followed her dreams and led her new crew. She waved to the moon as they zoomed on by. The best way to travel was surely to fly. And 200 days after leaving the Earth, she finally knew how much she was worth. A spark from Miss Stella had grown and had grown. Celestina had made her dreams her own. As the brave astronauts rocketed down, they landed on Mars with a roaring sound. They knew they would see the mission through, with their great Celestina leading the crew. With confidence, Celestina stepped out onto Mars. With wonder, Celestina looked out at the stars, and on that red planet, that's Mars, by the way, our great Celestina danced like a brilliant astronaut ballerina. And there she is, dancing on Mars, the red planet. And there she is, dancing around on Mars, enjoying every minute of it. And that is the end of Celestina, the astronaut ballerina. This next book is called My Mummy Medicine, and it's written by Edviga Donticat. Whenever I am sick or just feel kind of gloomy or sad, I can always count on my mummy medicine. Sometimes it's a kiss so loud it reminds me of a French horn at Mardi Gras. So in other words, this little girl's mother just kisses her really loud when she's feeling sick. Big booming kiss. Or a hug so warm and tight, it feels like I'm wearing my toastiest pajamas on a cool winter night. Sometimes it's a cuddly nose rub or a massage that tickles, or a menthol back rub, so minty it fills up my whole room. Sometimes, if my throat is sore, it's fruity popsicles. Kiwi, watermelon, or just plain old vanilla ice cream will do. Sometimes it's tea, ginger, cinnamon, or peppermint. Or even better, hot chocolate full of misty, foamy milk that looks like clouds or angel wings. Or soup. Pea, chicken, or squash. I love that squash soup. It's like sunshine in a bowl. And as you know, squash can be very nice and yellow. Sometimes it's bubbles, the kind of bubbles you blow or catch, or when you sink into bubbles in a bubble bath in the tub. Sometimes it's a card game, Uno, or Crazy Eights. Or maybe it's chess or dominoes, or if I'm feeling up to it, a piggyback ride, or an indoor horseshoe toss. There they're playing horseshoe toss on the living room floor. Sometimes it's a whispered prayer just before nodding off at nap time. Sometimes it's a song at bedtime when Brother John is sleeping and it's the itsy bitsy spider is climbing on a water spout, or little stars are twinkling, and I'm Mommy's sunshine and she is mine, and we make each other happy, even when skies are gray. And that's all the different poems, that, you know, the Itsy Bitsy Spider song, and the Are You Sleeping, Brother John, and Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, and You Are My Sunshine, My Only Sunshine. And those are all songs which I'm sure most of you know. Sometimes it's a silly dance when we make ourselves a dance that works, even if you have to stay in bed. And there the little mummy is dancing around on the floor, and the little girl is dancing on her bed, kicking up her feet, holding her tongue out, shaking her head. They're both having so much fun. Sometimes it's a story where we sail off on a great big adventure to a faraway land where everyone is in trouble, and only Mommy and I, and of course a little magic, can save the whole entire world. Sounds like fun, doesn't it? Or we watch our favorite movie that makes us laugh and laugh and laugh, and makes us cry a little too. Or we cover our castle box with all the drawings we've made. Excuse me. With all the drawings we've made. And sometimes it's just plain old sitting up, Mommy and me, propped up against my favorite pillow, while watching my ceilings glow in the dark, stars flicker, making our own sky. They have a lot of reflective stars up in the sky, and there they are flickering away, just with the light from the plain nightlight. Sometimes it's even actual medicine, which might taste yummy or yucky. But nothing will ever take the place of my mummy medicine. And you know, even if your mummy can't be there to look after you if she has to work, sometimes grandma comes, or grandpa too, or sometimes a neighbor comes, that and you they can give you some good medicine too, even if they're not your real mummy. But anyways, being sick sometimes can be fun if you have a mummy medicine with you, or grandma medicine, or neighbor medicine, or whoever you love to have with you. And that is the end of that book, Mommy Medicine, by Edviga Danticat. The next story we're going to listen to is called Puss in Boots. It's a very, very old story that's been around many hundreds of years. So here we go, Puss in Boots. There once was an old miller who had three sons. When the miller died, he left the mill to his oldest son. The middle son was given the donkeys. The youngest son, a kind man who had always put his father and brothers before himself, was left with nothing but his father's cat. "What will become of me?" sighed the young miller's son, looking at his cat. "Buy me a fine pair of boots, and I will help make you your fortune, just as your father has wished," replied the cat. A talking cat! The miller's son could not believe his ears. He bought the cat a fine pair of boots, and the two of them set off to seek their fortune. After a while, they came to a grand palace. "I wish I could live so grandly," sighed the miller's son. Later, the cat went hunting and caught a rabbit. He put it in a sack and took it to the king. "A gift from my master, the Marquis of Carabas," said the cat, pretending the miller's son was a grand nobleman. "Now the king will want to know all about you," laughed the cat when he told his master what he had done. The cat delivered gifts all that week, and the king became very curious. So much, he decided his daughter should meet the mysterious Marquis of Carabas. The puzzled miller's son did as he was told, and the cat quickly hid. Whoops, the clever cat rushed back to his master, telling him to take off all his clothes and stand in the river by the road. The puzzled miller's son did as he was told, and the cat quickly hid his master's tattered clothes behind the rock. When the cat heard the king's carriage coming, he jumped onto the road. "Your Majesty," cried the cat, "my master's clothes were stolen while he was bathing in the water." The king gave the miller's son a suit of fine clothes to wear and invited him into the carriage. The miller's son looked very handsome in his new suit, and the king's daughter fell in love with him at once. Meanwhile, the cat quickly ran on ahead. Every time he met people working in the fields, he told them, "If the king stops to ask who owns this land, you must tell him it belongs to the Marquis of Carabas." Beyond the fields, the cat reached a grand castle belonging to a fierce ogre. The cat bravely knocked on the door and called out, "I have heard that you are a very clever ogre, and I would like to see the tricks you can do." The ogre, who liked to show off his tricks, immediately changed himself into a snarling lion. "Very clever," said the cat, "but a lion is large, and I think it would be much more impressive to change into a tiny mouse." At once, the ogre changed into a little mouse, and the cat pounced on him and ate him up. Then the cat went into the castle. He told all the servants that their new master was the Marquis of Carabas, and that the king was coming to visit them. When the king arrived at the castle, the cat purred, "Your Majesty, welcome to the home of the Marquis of Carabas." The cunning cat told his master to ask the king for his daughter's hand in marriage. And that is what his master did. The king, impressed by the nobleman's wealth, agreed, and soon the Marquis of Carabas and the princess were married. The cat was made a lord of their court and was given the most splendid clothes, which he wore proudly with his fine boots, and they all lived happily ever after. These old fairy tales, or folk tales, whatever you want to call them, always ended with, "They lived happily ever after." And now for another book, and this one is called My Grandparents Love Me, and it is by Claire Friedman and Judy Abbott. This time it's the grandparents who love the little boy. "I'm off to Gran and Grandpa's place with a big smile on my face. I always feel wrapped up in love when I stay at their place. Gran's big welcome hugs are warm. Whee! Grandpa swings me around. He laughs, 'You're getting heavy,' as my feet fly off the ground. My room at Gran and Grandpa's house has special toys there, too. Gran smiles, 'Have you looked under your bed? You might find something new.' And what do you think he finds under his bed? Do you think he found a neat present? It looks like it might be a new book. Gran's baking is delicious, yum. And when I munch and chew, more cakes than Mum would let me eat. Gran just smiles and says, 'Well, they're for you.' There he is eating an extra big cupcake that his grandma made just for him. Out at the fun fair Splish Splash ride, they don't mind getting wet if we all go together. Then off we go for ice cream. Yum! The biggest ice cream cones that we can get. I don't know how Gran's handbag, which doesn't look that full, has all we need for our day out. And it looks like a tiny handbag, but out of it comes sunscreen lotion, a pen, a paintbrush, a little book, a ball, some glasses for me, a hat, a straw hat, that is, some money and a wallet and credit cards and, oh my goodness, a cup and earphones and some candies of all sorts, another pair of reading glasses and lots of little chocolate things and a pencil and a juice box for me. It must be magical, that small purse of Gran's. It's great to help in Grandpa's shed. We build amazing things. Gran hasn't seen our rocket. Shh! It's red with silver wings. And it's a pretty big rocket, too, that the Grandpa and his grandson are building out in the yard. I don't just stay at Gran and Grandpa's. Sometimes they visit me. We all go out together then. It's so much fun. Yippee! Gran says I'll be a champion. She's teaching me to swim. With her beside me, I'm not scared. Now I can jump right in. Back home, we all dress up and dance. Gran's puts loud music on, while funny Grandpa jokes around and does the steps all wrong. Let's read the story, Gran, I say. We snuggle in a chair. Gran's silly voices make me laugh, pretending she's the bear. Warm from my bath and tucked in bed, I yawn. I've had such fun. Us two, they smile and kiss. Night-night. We love you, little one. Do you ever go to spend time with your grandma and grandpa? And don't you have fun when you do? Next story is Cinderella. And I know many of you know this story already, but it's still fun to listen again. Once upon a time, there was a young girl who lived with her father, her stepmother, and two stepsisters. The stepmother was unkind, and the stepsisters were mean. They made the girl do all the housework, eat scraps, and sleep by the fireplace among the cinders and ashes. Because she was always covered in cinders and ashes, they named her Cinderella. One morning, a special invitation arrived. All the young women in the kingdom were invited to go to a royal ball, a ball so that the prince could choose a bride. Cinderella longed to go, but her sisters just laughed. You go to a ball? In those rags? How ridiculous, they cackled. Instead, Cinderella had to rush around, helping her stepsisters to get ready for the ball. As they left for the palace, Cinderella sat beside the fireplace and wept. I wish I could go to the ball, she cried. Suddenly, a sparkle of light filled the dull kitchen, and there was a fairy. Don't be afraid, my dear, she said. I am your fairy godmother, and you shall go to that ball. But how, said Cinderella? Find me a big pumpkin, four white mice, and a rat, replied the fairy godmother. Cinderella found everything as quickly as she could. The fairy godmother waved her wand, and the pumpkin changed to a magnificent golden coach, and the white mice became white horses, and the brat became a coachman. With one last tap of her wand, the fairy godmother changed Cinderella's dusty dress into a shimmering ball gown. On her feet were two sparkling glass slippers. Now off you go, said the fairy godmother, but remember, all this will vanish at midnight, so make sure that you are home by then. Cinderella climbed into the coach, and it whisked her away from the palace. Everyone was enchanted by the lovely stranger, especially the prince, who danced with her all evening. As Cinderella whirled around the room in the prince's arms, she felt so happy that she completely forgot her fairy godmother's warning. Suddenly, she heard the clock strike midnight. Bong, bong, bong. Cinderella picked up her skirt and fled from the ballroom. The worried prince ran after her. Bong, bong, bong. She ran down the palace steps, losing a glass slipper on the way, but she did not dare stop. Bong, bong, bong. Cinderella jumped into the coach, and it drove off before it could stop her. He could stop her. Bong, bong, bong. On the final stroke of midnight, Cinderella found herself sitting on the road beside a pumpkin, four white mice, and a black rat. She was dressed in rags again and had only one single glass slipper left from her magical evening. At the palace, the prince saw something twinkling on the steps, a single glass slipper. I will marry the woman whose foot fits this glass slipper, he declared. The next day, the prince took the glass slipper and visited every house in the kingdom. At last, the prince came to Cinderella's house. Her stepsisters tried and tried to fit their huge feet into the delicate slipper, but no matter what they did, they could not get the slipper to fit. Cinderella watched as she scrubbed the floor. "May I try, please?" she asked. "You didn't even go to the ball," laughed the eldest stepsister. "Everyone may try," said the prince as he held out the sparkling slipper. And suddenly, "Oh," gasped the stepsisters, as Cinderella's dainty foot slipped easily into it. The prince joyfully took Cinderella in his arms. "Will you marry me?" he asked. "I will," Cinderella said. Much to the disgust of her stepmother and stepsisters, soon Cinderella and the prince were married. They lived long, happy lives together, and Cinderella's stepmother and stepsisters had to do all their own cleaning, and they never went to a royal ball again. Serves them right, huh? And now a poem that's called "You're a Big Brother." You're going to be a big brother. Hooray! How lucky are you? Babies love their big brothers and the clever things that they do. Babies are funny and friendly, but there are things a big brother knows. Babies can smell and pull hair as well, so watch out and hold your nose. Babies make moms and dads busy. They won't just be caring for you, but now that you're a big brother, it's fun sharing with somebody new. Babies don't do much to start with, so just quietly show them your toys. They can't dance or sing, but they like to join in by making a gurgling noise. Babies learn lots from big brothers, so teach them all you can do. Share and take care. Be baby's best friend, and they'll be amazing like you. That's a nice poem, isn't it? And now for a funny one, if I can find it again. Here we go. Little sheep couldn't sleep. Not a wink, not a peep. Tossing, turning all night through. What was poor little sheep to do? Owl came by, old and wise, said, "Silly sheep, use your eyes. You're lying in a field of sheep. Try counting them to help you sleep. 7, 4, 13, 10. That's not right. I'll start again." Till daylight came, awake he lay, and vowed he'd learn to count the very next day. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Read to Succeed. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For more information about NCRS, visit our website at ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Read to Succeed on the North Carolina Reading Service.